This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm fiscally conservative, but I am also aggressive, and I also believe in being creative, and I also believe that you get what you pay for. And so this is a situation where we needed to make sure we got the number one candidate. And it's not about the number one candidate. It was the number one candidate for the Chicago Bears.
It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. In for the fellas today, I am Mark Grody. Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune is here. Dan and I also are the co-hosts of the Take the North podcast, which you can hear through the Odyssey app. You could hear it through any way that you get your podcast. But we talk about the Bears 3 to 4 times a week. Dan and I will both be at the Combine next week after what has been a very sweaty, exhausting, exuberant type of offseason for the Bears so far. Exuberant, yes.
Yeah, and there was plenty of exuberance when they made that hire, Ben Johnson, last month, right? And the people have their hope ballooning right now, inflating, because the Bears have a head coaching prospect that Kevin Warren labeled there in that soundbite as the best option for them. And now it's all about turning that into results, which is the hard part of all this, right?
No doubt. I mean, and hey, it's perfect because today is President's Day. And I will say that one of the biggest deals of this offseason is starting to see it from the president of the Chicago Bears, and that is Kevin Warren. Starting to see him make a difference. Starting to see Kevin Warren do maybe the types of things that he is really talented at, and that is working with people, that is networking, that is being in management, being a manager of situations, which he clearly was, I think, throughout this entire process of making sure the Bears were able to secure Ben Johnson. So while it's been very easy to and almost sport to poke holes in what Kevin Warren has done and has not done with the Bears so far this year, I think that he does deserve a ton of credit right at this very moment for being part of the process that finally changed to bring Ben Johnson aboard with the Bears.
I won't push back on that significantly. As we've talked about, now it has to result in on-field results.
Yep.
At some point. That's why you're here. You do hear in that particular clip that we played coming out of the break the competitiveness in Kevin Warren. He understood this wasn't a draft. He didn't just get to choose the first head coach on the board. There were going to be other teams involved trying to get Ben Johnson and his services to be their head coach. And so in order for the Bears to make Ben Johnson their head coach, they had to, in his words, get creative. Some of that is how much they're going to pay him and what the contract looks like. Some of that is how much authority they're going to give him in setting his vision and seeing it through. there's a lot here. And I think Kevin even acknowledged it the day that Ben Johnson was introduced, that as much of a celebratory vibe as there was to that day, he analogized that to getting your acceptance letter into law school. Well, now you've got to go to law school and you got to study and you got to take the tests and you got to pass the bar and then you got to practice law. I think that was his exact analogy. And so it's like, it feels great, but now you got to turn it into something. And there's a lot that goes into that. Look, like, we're going to have some time over the next couple months to unpack a lot of this. We can do a lot of it here in the next hour about all of the, I would call it, I don't know if it's boring or mundane or just the non-sexy heavy lifting that the Bears have to do here. And we said it when Ben Johnson was hired. The first step is building a staff, and then it's building a roster, and then it's building a playbook, and then it's building the C concept, which, you know that word. Oh, I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to use it. You use it all the time.
I do, just to get under your nerves. Use it. Yeah. I won't do it right now, though.
But you got to build all those things, right? And those things take time and they take effort.
Yeah, they do. And I can't wait to, you know, Dan and I, like I said, we'll be at the Combine next week and we'll start to get an idea, at least through words, on what Ben Johnson might be all about. But I'm trying to figure out what I'm most interested in knowing from Ben Johnson from a personnel standpoint. And the offensive line needs work. So that's obvious. I think Ben Johnson knows that. I don't think that he looks at that and says, yeah, that's all set, I can make something of that. Kind of low key. The position that I'm most interested in knowing about from Ben Johnson is running back.
Sure.
Is running back. Does he look at it as, because there's two ways. I mean, you could look at it as, I'm Ben freaking Johnson. I can come in here and I can get the best out of DeAndre Swift. I can come in here and get Roschon Johnson to a certain point on the 1 through 10 scale too. Or is Ben Johnson looking at it and thinking, I've been there, done that, you know, because they did work together, DeAndre Swift.
Right.
He was there on Ben Johnson's watch in Detroit, left on Ben Johnson's watch in Detroit, and I don't know if that's just coincidence or if there was some cause to it in terms of Ben Johnson's evaluation. Have no idea, but I'm anxious to know what side, because, look, we all know that it's, even though we've seen really good examples of Saquon Barkley, running backs, great running backs that absolutely matter and make a difference in this league. We have seen that to some degree this year, but it's usually only two or three running backs that really make a difference. The rest is, you know, the hope is to get that guy at a cheaper price. So all of that to say that DeAndre Swift being under contract sure would be nice. Sure would be nice if Ben Johnson could just get the most out of DeAndre Swift and the Bears don't have to waste resources trying to get a number one running back here.
Yeah, look, like, they were together in 2022 in Detroit, DeAndre Swift and Ben Johnson, and I think Swift averaged 5.5 yards per carry there. It was, you know, playing second fiddle to Jamal Williams at the time. But you've got, like, a first-round draft pick in Ashton Jeanty who might be there for you at 10, and it may make you make a decision on whether that's a luxury item or something that can really become an engine for your offense. Ben Johnson's coming from Detroit, where they went in on Jahmyr Gibbs in round one, and Jahmyr Gibbs may be one of my favorite football players to watch now because of how good he is on an every-week basis in changing the game, right? And the Bears saw that twice this year. So, like, yeah, you're going to have to figure out that. I like your curiosity in that, in terms of the running back philosophy.
Yeah,
I like to see how this is going to play out and evolve over the next couple of years. And that's one of those questions where, you know, Ben Johnson seems to have the adaptability to work around whatever he's given. But now we're going to see some of this stuff put into action.
Running back is strong in this draft, for whatever it's worth, and the Bears do have a 5th-round pick, a 6th-round pick, and 2 7th-round picks. So I don't know how deep it is running backs-wise, but, I mean, that probably would be a spot later in the draft that you could attack running back. So it's that position that I'm very interested in, obviously, along the offensive line and what he does with Caleb Williams, but then on the other side, too. We talk about that number 10 pick. Is Ben Johnson, if he does have some, of course he's going to have an opinion, is Ben Johnson going to be like, I'm offense, 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 bring me an offensive lineman at number 10, or as we were discussing earlier, and I think I'm on this side right now, at this very moment, and I know the free agency is still to go,
yeah,
and there's a lot of, but let's play radio here, at that number 10 spot, I am totally down with a defensive player. It's a strong tackle draft, defensive tackle, strong defensive end draft. So I'm down. I'm right there with Fishbane on Mason Graham of Michigan, if they could pull it off, Abdul Carter from Penn State. So that's kind of where I'm landing right now. But again, that's one of those things that I want to start to get answers to from Ben Johnson on what he would prefer on this team.
I've had this conversation regarding the Bears for a decade now. And when you're a team on the climb that has roster deficiencies, there is not just one right answer, right? Like, they can go in six different directions and be right with what they choose to address at number 10. So just do your evaluations thoroughly and find somebody that's going to make a long-term difference for you. And that's the key with that pick. Look, they've got four picks in the top 75 right now. If Ian Cunningham ends up getting this general manager job in Jacksonville, which could happen over the weekend, I think he's one of five finalists for that job, the Bears would get a compensatory third-round pick, which would then give them five picks probably in the top 100, if not at like 101 or 102. That's good draft capital to work with. That's good opportunity to get some people that can impact your team immediately. And that's what they need to do. They need to find guys that can impact their team immediately. Either side of the ball in the trenches would be wonderful, right? Like, to get that going.
Yeah. What, and if he gets that job, if Ian Cunningham gets that job in Jacksonville, is he in charge of the draft? Does he get full power there? Because I heard that's not like...
Liam Cohen probably is, yeah. I mean, it'd be a similar situation to here, I would think, where there'd be a partnership between the GM and the head coach, and you just got to figure out what that looks like. Jacksonville's doing some stuff that throws you off a little bit, right? Like, they went the experienced route with the Trent Baalke, Doug Peterson pairing, and now they seem like they're going to go first-timers for both their jobs and try to figure it out on the fly. That's a team like the Bears that they try a lot of different things and very few of them seem to stick. Tried Urban Meyer, it didn't work. Tried Doug Peterson, it didn't work. You've had the number one pick more times than you care to count, and you just haven't been consistently good. Here, as it relates to the Bears, like, you just have to find alignment. That's the word that Ben Johnson kept using, right? And like, one of the things I like about Ben is he lived through hell in Detroit. He saw the Detroit Lions fire a head coach the morning after Thanksgiving in Matt Patricia, and then build from the ashes with a union between Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell that's ultimately turned them into the team that's at the top of the NFC, you know, regular season-wise. Obviously, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, but you've got a team there that's built to last because of the union between Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, and having been a witness to every step of that, I think is very valuable to Ben Johnson.
Yeah, well, what's really dangerous territory right now with the Bears, and really my thinking right now, because we all went into last season feeling pretty good about the Chicago Bears, feeling pretty good.
Arrow up.
For sure. And it was atrocious. That this past year was one of the worst seasons in Bears history. And you only had to go 2 years back from that to find another historically bad season when they also lost 10 straight games. So it was an atrocious season. But you do look at the talent that exists on this team, the talent that is in place, and there are way areas where you have to improve in a big way, and we're talking about them, offensive line and defensive line. But I guess the dangerous statement that I'm going to make here is, if they do things correctly and you get the arrow up from Caleb Williams this year, the Bears are not that far away. And I even look at the division, Dan, and I want your thoughts on what I just said. But
sure.
But the division, too, is, are you going to go? What's going on in Minnesota with Sam Darnold? Maybe you and Grimace could figure that out at some point in time.
We're going to meet at a Culver's in La Crescent and talk that one through.
Is Jordan Love? Because, you know, the last 2 years, man, really more lows than highs, I think, for Jordan Love.
Agreed. I've always been slow on the Jordan Love
slow
train.
On that. Like, there was a moment, like, at the end of, not this year, but the year before, the second half, and then doing what he did to the Bears to get into the playoffs, and what Green Bay did to Dallas last year, it made me think, but I've seen a lot of struggling from Jordan Love. Detroit ain't going anywhere, so I'm not down on
coaching
them.
Staff flux there, though. They lost a lot of coaches from that coaching staff with Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. That takes time to get back on track, and Robbie and I were talking before the show, like, they're going to take a step back. They're not winning 15 games next year, so just how big of a step is it?
Right. So Is it crazy for me to say that the Bears are not that far away here, Dan? Or is this
year, optimistic?
Do we look at this year's more of a mini rebuild or get yourself a palate cleansing season coming up for the Bears, where it doesn't have to be the bottom drops out?
Yeah, right.
It's just getting organized again.
Well, to your point about the roster, like, you're not starting from scratch. You don't have to do all of that
right.
again.
You're not, and it's not Poles' first year
You're taking it apart. You're dismantling it. But I do think that this is a direction-setting year. Like, we better see direction in this football team by the time we get to the end of the regular season. And that's with everything that they do. It's the way they build the roster. It's the way that the offense evolves. It's the way Caleb Williams is playing. We know how important he is to this whole puzzle. So now, how can Ben Johnson get the absolute most out of him this year, right? Like, this year. And that goes back to something we talked about a couple hours ago with Caleb's ownership and the need for those two guys to get in a room together, understand what makes each other tick, and then try to find a way to make that sweet, sweet music when they get into the regular season.
I mean, yeah, and that's just it. Like, the Caleb part of it is so serious, because if he does become what I think he's going to be, then a lot of this is just noise. Because if he becomes what we
think... He's an eraser at that point. He erases flaws.
Exactly. And it's not going to matter if, you know, Keenan Allen is there or not. I mean, that's jumping ahead, but... That in part, Ryan Poles did what he did in drafting Caleb, as opposed to trading Justin Fields and getting a stocked draft class and all of that stuff. He did it because he said, yeah, this kid can be the eraser. So that is still expected to some degree. Now, again, we don't know what Ben Johnson's full evaluation was for in truth of Caleb Williams when he came out of college. He seems to speak glowingly of him. I'm sold that he likes him, but it is his job now to get him to that level.
If you go back and listen to his comments from the day he was introduced at Hallis Hall, he also acknowledged that there are things that jumped off the film to him that were corrections that need to be made, things that he was going to address with Caleb Williams. And so now identifying that and getting your quarterback to understand what you need out of him is the next step in the process. And so that's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. This is a question I have for you as somebody that is going to be alongside me covering this team over the next, let's say, 4.5-5 months. I have a feeling that there is going to be, because this speaks to your topic about whether you're being overly optimistic or like, but you know, there is going.
I think I'm being simplistic too. I don't know if this is overly optimistic. Am I oversimplifying? Because if the offensive line is the issue and the defensive line, fix it.
But here's something that I want to guard against personally, and I feel like there is going to be 10 to 12 shiny lures in the water at all time, encouraging everyone to just bite the hook and be like, oh yeah, it's, you know, like, Ben Johnson's going to talk to you about accountability. He's going to talk to you about integrity. He's going to talk to you about being, you know, detailed and physical and disciplined. And then we're going to be asking players, like, was that the most disciplined practice you've ever been a part of? Right. Like, and then it's gonna be like, is this the most connected this team has ever been? And is Ben's magic already rubbing off? And you're like, well, wait a second. Like, we've done this with Flus, and we've done this with Nagy, and we've done it with Foxy, and we did it for a short time with Mark Trestman. He went by the wayside really quickly, but like, it's really easy in the early stages of a new coach to like buy everything they're selling.
Oh yeah,
really easy, and we've seen the results of that over time, where it's like, man, this is going to be a painful process, I think, because until they have on-field results, none of it means anything, but they can't have on-field results till they actually get on the field and play 17 games, and lures are going to be everywhere. And
such a great point.
You know, the people swimming around just eager to bite one of those worms on that shiny lure.
Right, like, look at this play that Ben Johnson designed out here in training camp.
The first cool play he runs, yeah.
Here
it's
comes
different.
That Ben Johnson.
It's different. It's different out here. That's a different practice. It's more fun than it's ever been.
Oh, man, that's all coming. You're right. It scares me. We've never really done it with a coach, but not to this level. You're right. You're right. It wasn't like that. Like, Matt Nagy was not the new shiny toy. This guy, and certainly Flus was. And Flus was, look him up.
But
know?
Still, it was. But with Flus, it was like, oh man, like, nobody in the history of football has ever run a practice as hard as this guy. You know, like, he's got a hits principle, and he's grading every rep of an OTA. Like, this is grinders football.
This is the discipline they needed, man.
This is the pathway to the Super Bowl. And then you're like, 2.5 years later, you're like, he can't keep his job, you know, like, he's got to go now. And you know, so like, that part scares me a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's frightening too. And look, we thought this about The John Fox was came in to restore order, right?
John
he
Fox
was there had, to restore the order, the discipline lost from the Trestman era.
And John Fox had been to the Super Bowl in each of his three previous stops, right? Like he had gone he had gone places that, there that you know, like the Bears would have loved to have gone. The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? Like three straight stops with in Denver. In Carolina, in New York as a coordinator, and so you were like, oh, this guy's proven it. So everything he's selling has substance behind it because he's proven it.
Yeah.
And then he was, what, 14-34?
Oof. Oof. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and we've done this with the players, too, like where we over-amplify, or I don't know necessarily, I don't want to group you or me necessarily, but over-amplify quarterbacks. When Justin Fields would make a pass down the field, like it would be like, we've never seen a pass like that ever.
There was a radio station in town that threw a party for him after.
Oh, really? Really? Well, that just sounds cheesy to me, man.
After a certain game.
Oh, but, God, that's right.
There's stages to these things. And, like, I was trying to explain this to a buddy a couple weeks ago that, like, the last thing you want to do when a new coach gets to town is just, like, criticize every single thing they implement, right? Like, oh, this isn't gonna work. Like, it just human nature right. doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And so you're naturally wired to believe that the person that was hired has an idea of how things need to run and is very confident in how they're going to run things. And so, you know, until the results start adding up with failures, you don't necessarily like scoff at everything in the moment, and sometimes it deserves to be scoffed at.
I got a couple things for the people listening here right now, and that is, I think, Dan, you know what just happened? I think that what has happened since 5 o'clock here today is we just went into take the North mode.
Love it.
We are in Bears mode here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So if you want to get in here on the take the North portion of the Score afternoon show with Dan Weider and me, Mark Grody, 312-644-6767. If you have a question for either of us about the Bears, about the podcast, about life, we are here for you to take those calls. And I don't know how I want to pose this question. Do you feel like the Bears are close despite how bad things were? Or are you like, let's give it a year and then we'll be back on track the year after this go? How patient are you willing to be as a Bears fan? 312-644-6767 for that. And now I also have something that I would like. I have been told, Dan, that I have the opportunity to give away some Tom Segura tickets. Hilarious. Tom Segura Come Together Tour, which is going down Saturday, March 1st. It's coming. It's at the United Center. And so, if you want to see comedian Tom Segura, hilarious, be the sixth caller to the Score Contest Hotline. All these phone numbers are going to keep Robbie busy for a little while. 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. Good luck winning the Segura tickets. Dan and I will be back to take your Bears calls here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It is on like radar charm.
With a fleet of super bats and status radar charm.
Afternoons on the Score.
That's right. We are in Take the North mode here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Take the North is a podcast performed by this man, Dan Wiederer, and me, Mark Grody. Shout out to David Haw, who is in the ground floor of Take the North. But we just talked Bears, and we got a bunch of calls lined up. People want to talk about the Bears, Dan. Is that good with you?
It's amazing. We're mid-February. We're in the deadest period right now on the NFL calendar almost, and it still goes. It still hits the sweet spot.
Well, it's moving, man. Like I said, Dan and I will be at the Combine next week. We'll be doing the podcast there. I'll be reporting right here on the Score, all the juicy tidbits and the first-round pick, number 10 overall, 2 second-round picks, 3rd, 5th, 6th, a couple of 7th-round picks, and that could expand even more depending on what goes down in the rest of this offseason. And I'm kind of anxious about the Bears. I know that it's probably getting ahead of myself to sit here right now and say, yeah, I think the Bears could be right back in the mix next season. But I do think the Bears could be right back in the mix next season if they're smart about what they do in this offseason and the natural regression with some of the other teams in the NFC North. So we were asking the question is, how patient are you willing to be right now with this Bears team? Because they got Ben Johnson and a new philosophy with the organization, does that mean that they should compete and be good again right away this year? Or does the new head coach get a chance to breathe a little bit in his first year and set it up the way he wants?
Listen, he set his own bar. He said that he thinks they can win, and they can win now. Great. Those are his words. And so now he's got to find a path to getting them there. And look, like, nobody's talking about holding a Super Bowl parade here downtown, you know, next February. But you would like to play meaningful games through the month of December and into January. And if you're in the right frame of mind and playing the right kind of ball, maybe you get a playoff game.
I can't believe that the Bears have had 10-game losing streaks in 2 out of the last 3 years of their lives.
Yeah, 2 of the 3 seasons under Ryan Poles, the general manager. And so, like, you remember the last time we did a Take the North Live, I had you go through 9 categories and give Ryan Poles letter grades.
Oh, that's right. That was the hardest podcast we've ever done, man. That was good stuff from you, though.
I revisited that today because I never gave my grades. I took your grades, and then I had my grades written down next to him. If you had taken those and given Ryan Poles a GPA, your GPA for him across 9 categories was a 1.9, and mine was a 1.8. And
so that. Wow, okay. So, on a 4 scale, we're talking here?
Right. Yeah. And I bring that up because you're talking about the most losses in a 3-year period in the 105 season history of the Chicago Bears, right? Like, there are reasons for that, and there are plans and approaches that went haywire and things that were by design, but that's 36 losses in 3 years that you've had to live through. These next 3 years better not include 36 losses. They better not include losing streaks of 5, 8, 10, whatever it may be.
Let's get on some of our Bears people here. Dan, let's start with John on the road. Hi, John. You're on the Score with Weider and Grody. What's up, man?
Thanks, Weider and Grody, taking my call. I like what you're doing and everything, but I think even with the 10th pick, I would pick the meanest, biggest, ugliest center that is out there, because for 10 years, he'd be hiking the ball to Caleb, and it would solidify our center of our line. And then with the first pick in the second round, I'd go defense, and then I'd go guards in the next two. But we need somebody. It's just like having a basement. You need something like, I keep thinking Olin Krutz, Jim Colbert. I want a center that's a big, bad person.
Thank you for the call. For the record, Jim Colbert was never a center, but maybe he was thinking about Jay Hilgenberg. But yeah, it sounds crazy, Dan, to put resources into the center because it's not considered a premium position, but the Bears have struck out badly at that position a lot under Ryan Poles. I wouldn't consider Coleman Shelton a strikeout, but definitely somebody that you can upgrade from. Obviously, Lucas Patrick was a problem. Sam Mustipher probably never should have been in the position to be playing so much center as he did, and we know that, unfortunately, Cody Whitehair struggled when he would get opportunities to do it. So I just mentioned those guys because that's what it's been under Ryan Poles. I don't know if I've missed a guy, but
the position needs improvement. Yeah. There's no question about it. Not at number 10, right? Like, if you want to take one early, then you're going to trade back if you can and get lower on the board and try to figure some things out there. They need to upgrade the position. There's no question about that. And so now what path do you take to get there, and how does Ben Johnson envision doing that? Because here's the other thing. Pairing a rookie center with an inexperienced quarterback can be a little bit dicey, mm-hmm. right? When you're trying to have guys that understand the game and can see it and can help you out pre-snap to get in the right looks and figure out where pressures are coming from, you're going to be a little bit hesitant. So this might be a bridge year where you might want a veteran to be your starting center as you groom a guy behind him to be the future.
Would it be bad if the Bears brought back Coleman Shelton as their center?
I think it's a possibility. I mean,
I don't think it would be horrible. I really don't, especially if, and we don't know, I mean, if Caleb really is comfortable with him, and it didn't seem like he wasn't comfortable with him except for one bad snap, which Caleb turned into a spectacular play. I don't think it's crazy to think Shelton would be back, but that doesn't sound good, does it?
Well, no. I mean, it's not going to make anybody feel like, boy, we really hit it big. But The key is that when you get your five starters together, it better look impressive. It better look reliable. Again, I've said it 100 times since the middle of last season. You went into last year with a bunch of guys that had known dependability issues. That was Tevin, that was Ryan Bates, that was Karan Amagaji,
Nate Davis
at the top of the list by a country mile. And so then you were stunned when those guys weren't available to you and you had to reshuffle. That can't happen again. You are playing for a head coach now who has seen what a top-tier offensive line can do for you. And so Ben Johnson brought that up in his introductory press conference. Look, the offensive line isn't good enough here. Ryan and I have had discussions about it, and now we're going to go about fixing it. Okay, let's see what that looks like 2.5 months from now.
Trust in Ben Johnson and Chicago Joe. What up, Chicago Joe? You're on the Score.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Joe.
I like to use history as a way to keep me focused that everything's going to be okay with the Bears. And here's why. I've been a Bears fan for a long time. I got pictures of me and Abe Gibron when I was a kid.
Whoa.
That's how it's that. Yeah, that goes way back. And I'm going to use a couple instances. Number one, there's a team called the Pittsburgh Steelers that before you guys know them as the Steelers, they didn't have a winning season for 30 years. And they lost the coin toss to the Bears, and what did they do with their number one pick? They drafted a guy named Terry Bradshaw, and they got a coach, and all of a sudden hit on a few draft picks, and all of a sudden they became the team of the 70s. Well, fast forward, and granted, you got to hit on some draft picks, and it was a lot of luck, and it was reinforced in 1999 when there was a 3-13 Rams team And they had Trent Green as their quarterback, and he goes down. And I watched Dick Vermeil on there crying, saying they're going to rally around Kurt Warner. Who the hell is Kurt Warner? Well, look what happened.
Yeah.
And this is in the Steeler comparison was long before they had the league set up for everybody to be 500. Now with everybody to be 500, guys, they got some dudes on this team. They got a nice young quarterback. They got some studs on offense. They got some studs on defense. Yeah, I just think they need a coach to kind of put it together, and you can turn this around in 1 year.
I hear you, Chicago Joe. I like the way you talk, man. And he's right. I was just laughing just because of how insensitive he was to Dick Vermeil, who did cry a lot. Dick Vermeil, an old coach in the league, and Dick Vermeil, he did. I think he's right. I think when Trent Green got hurt, which did enable history to occur, Kurt Warner comes in, did what he did. I do believe Dick cried.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know, you got this Dick Vermeil crying.
Kurt Warner is his quarterback. Look, like the Detroit Lions. They were lost in the wilderness forever. They didn't have a playoff win since, what, like 92, 91?
Yeah, there was back last in playoff the, win who was the guy with the cigar?
2023.
The Detroit head coach.
And so, like...
Red Auerbach?
No. Red Auerbach.
Lance
no.
Dixon?
No. Actually, Robbie, it actually pissed me off as a fan. It was, God, what was his name? Big dude that coached for Detroit. They won the division. Wayne Fonts!
Yeah.
It was a pop-up season where they won, and Wayne Fonts mostly sucked as a head coach, but they won, and I think they clinched against the Bears, and then on the broadcast afterwards, he was smoking a cigarette. This did not please Ditka, nor did it please me or a lot of people. So Wayne Fonts is out!
Yeah. Well, before you say it was a pop-up year. Before last year, the Lions had not won the North. They had never taken the North.
Never taken
Now
the
they've
North.
Taken it, and they're trying not to give it back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, you're right.
So you use that as a model. Ben Johnson's seen that model. He has seen the successful drafts. Go look at the last three or four drafts that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have put together, and you go, okay, yeah, that's a way to quickly turn things around. It's not luck. You make your own luck.
One more call before we take a break here as we're keeping the Take the North lines hot. We go, oh, it's Wayne! Wayne! In West Lafayette, or just in plain old Lafayette. What's going on, Wayne? How you doing, buddy?
It's West Lafayette, Grody, man. How you doing?
It is West
Lafayette.
Oh, dude, I'm
man,
doing...
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I am doing great now.
I'm privileged to talk to you guys, man. Man.
Say hi to Dan. Deal. What about my guy Dan here, too?
Dan, I've never talked to Dan before, but it sure is a privilege to talk to him. I've heard him a lot, and I'm sure glad to be able to talk to him for the first time.
He was nominated for Sports Writer of the Year this year. Unfortunately, Potsy beat him out.
We got to be proud of him.
Yeah.
We got to be proud of him no matter what. But hey, I'll tell you one thing, too. It was awful great to meet you. I've talked to you so many times, but so great to meet you and Dave Wanstead. It's Four Winds, man. Get some good pictures with you. And I'm going to send you some here one of these days. They'll be famous for you for a long time.
That's awesome, so, man. Anyway. No, that was really it. Wayne, no, seriously, it was really
that
good
was
to
great.
Meet you, man. No, that was fun. I was glad that we had a fun crowd out there. Had a lot of good questions from the audience, and a lot of people just stopping by and saying Bears, which I appreciated. I always appreciate that.
You betcha.
Yeah,
you betcha. And Dave Wants, that's great, man. I'd take him in a fight any day, man. He looks like he could really put up a fight for somebody. Man.
Oh yeah.
He could really duke it. You know? Yeah. Anyway, hey guys, what I wanted to ask you is. One thing, too, when you play that basketball game, dunk on old Gabe. Man.
Oh, Gabe's going down,
Wayne,
man.
I'm going to stop you right there for a second because you brought two things together back-to-back that I think are important. If Wani could win a street fight right now, what if he gets on Grody's team just in case Gabe starts playing a little rough this weekend and then he's got Wani behind him?
Whoa!
Oh, man. Intentional foul time, buddy. Intentional foul time.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I'm going to have some incidental elbows. Oh, man.
Dunk on him. Show him who he's running his mouth at, buddy. You can get him.
It's going down. Wayne, what's your question? We owe you a Bears question. What do you got for us, buddy boy?
I wonder how Brisker and Big Bill are doing, and if you think they're going to be a big part of next year's defense, and if Brisker can maybe dial it with our new coach, maybe he can dial it back a little bit so he doesn't hurt himself so bad but still play really good.
Wayne, that's a great question. We will take that right now. Thanks for the call, buddy. Great to see you. Great to have met you, and we're sure we'll talk to you soon. afternoon. Dan, what do you think about the – that's a great question, actually. Brisker's a mystery man, and Andrew Billings. What say you, sir?
Well, I'll start with Billings because he seemed in good spirits on locker cleanout day in January when we were talking to him about his recovery. You also heard the new head coach mention him by name in the introductory press conference as a guy who gave the run defense some teeth. So Ben Johnson knows how valuable Andrew Billings can be at his best. Brisker is a mystery, right? Like, this has been a repeated situation with him, and it's scary. Like, we've talked about this previously about how it becomes a life issue and not a football issue when you've had this type of episode multiple times in multiple seasons. And so I'll be interested to hear next week, if we get around to it in our sessions with Ryan Poles, what's the status of Jaquan Brisker and how does he fit into not only the 2025 plans, but the long range plans, given everything that's unfolded here. And obviously, first and foremost is that young man's health.
Yeah, 100%. Whatever is best for his health is all I could tell you is that occasionally, while he was in concussion protocol, Jaquan Brisker, I would wander over. I'm sure you did too at times, Dan, but I'll just share mine. And you know, just when I'd see him, I'd go talk to him. I wasn't putting the mic in front of his face, but I remember asking him before the gauntlet of NFC North games began. I just asked him, I said, hey, do you think you're going to be good to go? And it was like a week before. He's like, oh yeah, man, we're done. That's what it almost sounded like. They were planning for that and then pulled the rug out from under him.
It's very interesting mystery for sure. And it's one that factors in big time because you want to know who you're going to have on the back end of that defense. Kevin Byard will be back. Elijah Hicks played well when healthy. You know, you've got to figure that out a little bit.
I think that, you know, one of the big contributions that Brisker makes, and this talk about oversimplifying, there's a fear factor when Brisker plays.
Like, no, there's no doubt he's a tone setter.
Tone setter, and people, like, he's got a reputation. Like, the other players, there's not a lot of guys that are good old-fashioned, I'm going to hit you, and I don't care what happens to my body anymore. Like, Brisker's in kind of a dying group of players.
For sure. No doubt.
The slam dunk in Vegas, ladies and gentlemen, national. This is national. It's a national contest. It's easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four during the first weekend of the tournament in March. Stay at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Airfare is also included, plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas. Dan and I will be back to wrap this puppy up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
A fitting ending tune to the song, or to the show, to the song show. Along with Dan Weider, I'm Mark Rohde. It's the afternoon show on The Score. Spiegel and Holmes. I know Matt Spiegel will return to this chair tomorrow. I will be co-hosting with Spiegel. Lawrence will be back a week from today, I do believe. He's doing the way you're supposed to do it. I call it an RAV, a real ass vacation. It's called a RAV, and that's what Lawrence is doing right now. I don't know if he is anywhere, but he's taking the time off for 2 weeks.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, yes.
I could use that.
Oh, I know. I tried to shut it down, but it didn't really work.
You got to get away. It's the only way to truly detach, right?
Yes.
I'll be out for spring break, and we'll try to get some detachment then.
What was your watching like last night? Did you watch the NBA? Did you watch SNL? Were you watching? Maybe you were watching Law and Order or something. I don't know what. And it's okay if you didn't watch any of the NBA.
Because, I didn't watch any of the NBA, and it's sad to me that All-Star Weekend has so little appeal to it. I think Friday night we were out to dinner and they were doing the celebrity game, and it was like this, I don't know who any of these people in the celebrity game are, which is, yeah. If you look at those rosters, you're like, what, we're old now. I don't know who celebrities are anymore. But then everything else, there's just not a lot of appeal to it. They're changing the format. It's just, the Bulls are irrelevant. It's a weird place. So I wound up on SNL 50 for about an hour and a half last night.
It's a good place to be, and I'll give you a few nuggets from that as well. But I do think that they just need to add Mac McClung to every part of the NBA weekend. Yeah. yeah, that's the only time that it gets spicy. Although when Mac McClung, who won the dunk championship for the third straight time, and I watched it, and when he did the jumping over the car thing.
Yeah, that was good.
And then his foot kind of rubs the side of the car. I mean, like that, he is so close to
disaster.
Disaster. Or maybe it's not. They're like, it's Mac McClung. He's not in the NBA. This is where he gets his paycheck. So if Mac McClung wants to take his NBA life in his hands, they're like, that's fine. Let it go.
You forget that a guy like that played high school basketball somewhere. You know what I mean? There were some viral things going around this weekend of clips from him from high school. And you're like, oh, man, like that's pretty nasty as like a 17-year-old in high school doing some of that stuff and then posing afterwards.
Yeah, it's a weird life that he's living, but a good one, I suppose. Like he's got a trick and he's able to maximize on it. The only thing that I thought was really weird about the whole night. I watched the final NBA game. In the final game that they played last night, they played three separate games. And the final game, the finale game, the big one, they take a break, natural TV timeout, whatever it is. They come back from the break. And then for the next 10 minutes, they honored TNT, which was awkward just because of the timing of it. Of course, they deserve it all because they're absolutely great. And then just to top it off, Kevin Hart putting all of the personalities in rain gear and like they looked ridiculous in this sort of serious moment. And I could tell. I haven't read anything about it today, but just sort of low key. I don't know if like Ernie Johnson and the guys were particularly happy that Kevin Hart was making a joke out of that at halftime, but that's what he's supposed to do.
The Inside the NBA documentary, if you've never seen it, I think it's on Max. Awesome stuff. Like surprisingly good.
Really? I bet it is good. Yeah I bet it is. You know what? I'll talk about the SNL stuff another time. Maybe Spiegs and I will talk about it tomorrow because we are out of time. Thank you to Robbie Triano for producing the show. Thank you to Jeremy Werner for coming on the show from 24/7 Sports, talking about the Illini, doing a great job like he does. We also talked to the great Kevin Fishbane. Fishy Business was on with us. Dan, it is always fun working you, whether on live radio or the Take the North podcast. Thanks, man.
Great afternoon. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. We've got Big Ant coming up next. Anthony Herron next on The Score. I'm Mark Grody. Have a great rest of your night.
All right, guys, have a great life.
Have a good show.
We'll try.
What?
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy. We'll be right back.